This week, I want to talk about the mind, body and soul or spirit connection and why it feels impossible to move on. Welcome to the Mindfuckery podcast, which is Feedspot's fifth must listen to podcast on emotional abuse. I'm your host, Elizabeth, and in here we explore areas others fear to tread. I'm a woundologist and I have been for over 20 years working with past life wounds, clearing ancestral trauma and working with this life wounding. Through my own personal journey, I know how much this hurts and how confusing life becomes. So many questions, no real answers. I'm the author of Finding Lily, which I wrote in Greece as my marriage was crumbling around me. The A to Z of emotional abuse followed as I discovered new words and language and phrases that I had no idea existed and I realised were now my reality. My third book, Divorce Matters, has been written to support you through the divorce process. It's a really important part. You can get the closure you need, heal the emotional wounds, and because your divorce matters are really important as well, it gives you permission to ask for the information you've been told not to ask for. I'm the founder of the Inner Healing Sanctuary and creator of Wound Talking, The Original Wound and Quantum Glow Healing. And I'm on a mission to educate as many people as I can on the effects of trauma in our lives and our children's lives and healing the wounds of our mothers and our fathers. It stops here, it stops now, it stops with us. So welcome along for the journey of a lifetime. And you are very, very welcome. I never really know what I'm going to talk about from week to week. And I try to do it on the day that I post this. Sometimes it might go out a little bit later than intended if I get caught up. Because I do think I'm going to record a short one today. And they always end up with like 45 minutes and I have to edit it down. So this is where information comes to me in between sleep and awake. And I wanted to talk about the mind, body, soul or spirit connection. I don't know whether it was triggered by a conversation I had yesterday with someone. We were talking, we've been working together, doing some coaching. And I was explaining my five pillars that I work with and the five pillars that I discovered when I started healing from this. I actually discovered four. Yeah, I added in the fifth pillar. So I discovered four and they were emotional, mental, physical and spiritual. And spiritual is your morals, your beliefs. So it could be a religious belief. So it encompasses a lot. This is what your body tells you is right and wrong. And so I added in financial because it was something that I've experienced three times. And I went on to discover when I was working along, going along the coercive control, because I'm really passionate about people understanding and understanding what coercive control is and financial coercive control. At the time when I started talking about it, I couldn't find anyone talking about financial coercive control. I have heard a few people talk about it over the last couple of years, but I started to look at financial coercive control because that is the easiest way or the quickest way to control someone, and that's reduce their finances so they can't move on. That's why I have got five pillars that I work with, and it's your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health and your financial health. It's the abuse, so it'll be those five pillars, just change health to abuse and the effect it has. And this is the mind, body and soul element or the spirit element. You were spotted. They saw who you were and they liked that. They see something that you've got that's missing in them. These people are thieves. They're thieves of time, of everything, every element that you've got. They are always looking to make. They never give. It looks like they do. There is an exchange initially. The ultimate reward for them is to take everything. And it's, for me, it's like a vampire sucking the life out of you. And it doesn't matter whether they're covert or whether they're grandiose. The common factor is that they are insecure people. They actually don't have a personality. They don't know who they are. And so they grow up mimicking, claiming, taking anything. And I remember writing this somewhere. If it's not taped down or nailed down, they'll take it. They believe it's theirs. And that's how they view life. That's there for the taking. That's mine. And as I said, it doesn't matter whether they are the grandiose, look at me, aren't I fantastic? Or they are the covert, scuttling around in the background, being really quiet. They are insecure and they do not know who they are. This isn't just about having purpose in life. This is really about perhaps them being controlled to a point that they weren't allowed to investigate. They weren't allowed to explore. They weren't allowed to make mistakes. They weren't allowed to do anything. And again, you could step back and say, well, actually, I wasn't allowed to make mistakes. I had lived in a very controlling environment. But there's an element of you who knows who you are at the core, and they don't have that. So I'm going to use my chessboard again. So we're going to take this person that you've been in a relationship with, and we're going to put a crown on their head, and we're going to give them the king status, whether they're female or male. We're giving them the king status. They're very limited in their moves. They're very limited in where they can go and what they can do. Whereas you were the queen. Again, doesn't matter whether you're male or female, that's your role. I've done quite a few videos and spoken about this. The queen on the chessboard can go anywhere she wants. She is unlimited in her movement because she is such a powerful piece. And this is what the emotional abuser, the covert or over, or doesn't matter what name you put on them, the person that has caused you harm, that has hurt you so deeply into your soul, they saw you on a level, and this is where it gets dangerous. They saw you on a level that perhaps you'd never been seen before. And the dangerous part is that part, because they did see you in a way that perhaps nobody else has seen you. And these questions you might have taken for interest, but really it was like a project to them. Because what they're doing is they're finding out the information. It might be they were finding out who you are at the core. They have spotted something, and it's more than likely that they want it. So you could say it might be a diamond. That's how I like to describe people, as diamonds, because there are so many different faces to us. So at the core, they have seen something that they like, they're attracted to, they recognize something in you. I think of it as like a flow chart where they have got a question at the top and it's yes or no, and they follow it down, yes, and they have another question, yes, and then these questions lead to they could probably get in. And I've spoken about the master or motherboard within us. I see us as like there's some sort of computer system where we've been loaded with information during our birth process, those first crucial 7 to 8 years, and then everything built on top of that. And it's like they work out through this flow chart the combination and how to get in, and then how to take everything and all the information. It's like stealing files and information, and then they override it, and then they put a lock on this that we can't find the combination to. Only I found the combination, and I'm trying to share it with as many people that want it as possible. So if it's not nailed down, they take it, and that's what was happening. And they trap you. And this is, I was starting to write an article about this. I haven't got very far. I've sort of got stuck because I end up going over my story and weaving it in. And then what bit do I want to share? And shall I pull that bit out? What I realized was I was trapped by some phrases. And my phrases were, we're meant to be together. I want to change for you. And you're the only person that's ever understood me. I talked about these really, really early on when I launched my YouTube channel, and possibly sprinkled them throughout the work that I've done and etc. But they trapped me. These three statements trapped me, along with writing the story of finding Lily and not really understanding or understanding the significance. It took me quite a few more years actually, to work that one out. And I did that quite recently. So finding Lily, I wrote, my life was about to implode and I knew this was happening. It had been going on for a year and I was wanting it to be over, but I was wanting to hang on. I didn't know what my life was going to look like. I'd been forced into a financial position that wasn't healthy. All my savings had gone at this point, and I was sat on a beach in Greece. I was on my own, but I wasn't on my own. My children were there for the first week and then they went home, and my now ex-husband turned up for 4 weeks. And I sat there and this story came to mind, and it was something that had happened to me 26 years previously. I've spoken about this. I wrote a book, Finding Lily. I thought as I was writing it, I was thinking, but I've healed this. I did this At that point, it would have been 4 years earlier. And I healed the trauma behind this situation, behind that relationship and what had happened and the deceit and the betrayal that happened. And why was it coming back? So I delved in. Maybe rightly or wrongly, I don't know, but it's the route I took. I wanted to experience everything at that point because I wanted to make sure at this point that I had healed. I'd been working with emotional wounds and I've been working with deep-rooted wounds and past life and ancestral wounding for about 15 years. The ancestral was a bit newer, but the past life was 15. The wounding was 15. So I was like, well, I must have missed something. This relationship, I'm going to fully indulge myself in every single emotion. I need to feel everything so that I can, one, help others, and two, be over with this finally. What I hadn't realized was that story was actually telling me what was going on in my life. And it's only recently that through an event that happened last year that I realized that story of finding Lily was actually telling me what was going on in my life. And it was a replication of what had happened. So in a way, I did need to heal something on a deep level because there was a repeating pattern there. But it wasn't that event that I needed to heal. So although when I got back and it was peaceful and calm, then the hoovering-y type events happened and there were various things and I got really emotional. There were three things that trapped me and it was these three statements. It opened wounds up, big porous wounds, pussy wounds that had been just laying there, like the verruca. This virus had been laying there. I'd left these roots and they were, why am I not good enough? What's wrong with me? And what did I do wrong? And these trapped me. They kept me trapped in a vortex for such a long period of time. And it was one day that, you know, I was able to talk to these wounds and I was able to challenge a lot of statements. I've spoken about the bipolar story before. And I was able to track down the 3-year-olds, the 5-year-olds and the 8-year-olds that had been hurt in these situations. These were childhood wounds. But what had happened over that period of time, as the power was being taken out of me, they were like my kryptonite, really. These three statements were like my kryptonite. Think about it. These relationships give you something initially. And as I said, you become a project and they set about finding out the best way to get everything. It's like a mining expedition. You pick your precious stone. Mine is always a diamond. It's actually my birthstone as well, but I love the diamond. I love looking at a diamond and looking at all the different faces which represent us. You can spend time with really old friends and maybe you went to school with, and you might behave and speak and laugh and giggle in the way that you were at that age. And then you might, I talk about the telephone voice, you pick up the phone, and you might have a different persona at work than you do out of work. Somebody who you work with and then you go out for an evening might see a different side of you. And that's what people say, oh, I saw a different side of you tonight, or I saw a different side of you today. To me, this is the multifaceted part of our personality with so many different parts. And the covert, overt, whatever you want to call them, if you need to label them at this point, use every single label that you need to help you work your way through. They knew what to say to you. Your statements might have been different to mine. They knew the word, they found the combination into your hard drive. And what they were doing was reprogramming you. They were stripping you right the way back. They were doing a reset to original settings that you were born with, which means that they've taken everything away from you. You have no coping mechanism. You know, I felt like I had a 3-year-old running my life. Every single emotion, every single decision I was making, really, you know, financial decisions weren't great, even down to, you know, what I was putting in my body. And so the mind-body connection, they have, so your mind has been overridden, it's been tricked, it's been convinced, your relationships, you might have isolated yourself. People talk about they isolate you, but there's an element of fear where you actually isolate yourself. And it might be that through fear, So they have had a hand in this, because you wouldn't do it if you weren't fearful. You've moved yourself away from people, or you've handled relationships really badly in a certain area through fear of losing this relationship, because they've told you how brilliant you are together. They've convinced you that this is the best thing that you've ever experienced. And yet what they're doing is manipulating and taking everything. Financially, they steal everything. Emotionally, they, oh my gosh, it's like a disruptor of your emotions. And you might, like me, find that you've got a young child in control of everything. Physically, what have they done physically? It might be that they have criticized your body and the way you look. Again, emotionally, mentally affecting you. I heard some things, and I still do it. I came out of the gym yesterday and I made a comment in my head, and it was sort of a joke, laughing about something in my head. But actually, am I still punishing myself? Was a question that I thought afterwards. And these little earworms that get in there. So your life has been transformed. And not in a good way. This is something that might have trapped you as well. And you might be trawling over social media and looking and trying to find out what's going on. They've got a new relationship. Why aren't you good enough? Why you had that person? What did you do wrong? This wounding, which they've excavated when they were mining for the gold, whether they're mining for the diamond, whether it was a ruby or amethyst, they found and uncovered these wounds, and they've played into these wounds, and they've talked to these wounds in a way now that you are now replaying and repeating. They have destroyed you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Every area of your life has been affected. There's not one area that won't be. Your friendships would come under, for me, it would come under the spiritual. They've got you to question everything. They questioned every relationship you had. And part of that was, particularly the romantic ones, was to find out what you put up with in relationships and what you were going to do for them. Whether it's to financially support them, whether it was to give everything to them, whether it was to hand over cars and properties and things like that. The mind-body-spirit connection is huge. And emotionally divorcing from them, which means having no feeling towards it. Oh, it. Towards the relationship, towards them. I mean, as I said, they have no personality. They don't know who they are. So this is one of the reasons, this is one of the huge reasons that you don't recognize them. Who are they? They've changed. They've changed because they created a new mask for a new person. What they do is mimic. They put on a mask. They play the role that this other person, this new person wants. This new person will, on some level, be experiencing what you experience. They might have more money than you, so they might end up there a bit longer. They might have more to give them in a certain way, so they might end up in that relationship longer. They might be more manipulative towards this new person, and that's why they end up in that relationship longer. But believe me, they don't know how not to be abusive, because that is who they are. They don't know how to not play people, not take from people. If that's their default setting, how many times did you hear, oh my gosh, they're just so nice? And you thought, wow, and not like that at home. So although right at the beginning, when it was lovely and it was roses and the birds were singing and the sun was shining and life was perfect, you were a project working out what they could excavate. You were the queen. You had everything. You were able to move in every single direction. You had everything going for you. You were actually the most powerful piece in this game, the most powerful piece on that board. Everybody else that they used in their triangulation, in their game, they were lesser forms of supply, but they saw something in you. They saw something that they wanted and they sought to take it. And now they've taken it. Now you were programmed over a period of time as you grew up, and you can get all of that back. Maybe some of it you don't want. Maybe some of it was bad programming. Maybe you had a parent that told you you weren't good enough. You can now start to question those statements. And this is such a powerful part of the healing process. Grounding, breathing, balancing your energy, and turning off social media. If you still want to know what's going on in their life, there's still something you need to heal. This is your chance to reset, being taken back to your original settings, and you can now reprogram some of this stuff. So at that age, maybe you were 3 and there was some form of rejection. You can now look at that with adult eyes and look at a situation and challenge it. This is one of the techniques that I teach. Is it true? And start to challenge some of these beliefs that we hold about ourselves. It's so powerful. And you can do the same thing as well. This isn't a life sentence. This is an opportunity to seize and recreate your life in a different way. To look at the way that you want to live now. Look forward. Not looking around you. And looking back is helpful. I've spoken about this before. I can see how far I've come. And you can look over your shoulder and say, look, I can see where I am now to where I was. I'm not the mess on the floor in the bathroom or in the bedroom. I've now moved forward. But all the times that there might be you wanting to reach out to them, which happened to me, I hadn't seen him for a few years as we were going through the divorce process. Was an element that wanted to for me to reach out. And that was at the turning point of my healing. And as I said, I'd wanted to experience absolutely everything. I wanted to make sure that I healed on a level that I never went through this abuse again. I never went through the betrayal again. This relationship had repeated. These wounds are powerful. They're echoes from our past. They're little messengers. They're saying, hey, come and help me. We can work with them. We can talk to them and we can ask them what it is that we need to do. Really, really powerful and life-changing. Once you're out of the relationship, you no longer are their queen, but you still are a queen. You become a pawn in their game. You're worth nothing, easily got rid of. And you might work your way down there over a period of time during that divorce or during that breakdown where you're sorting out everything. But you don't have to stay there because you are a queen. You are and you were the most powerful person in that relationship. You put a barrier up. You put a wall between you and that person. You protect your energy and you start to reclaim your queen power and status back. And that is the most powerful thing you can do. And you don't care whether they see it. You don't care whether they know about it. You've got nothing to prove. Those are the things that drove me. Behind the wounds of, you know, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I good enough? Where I will prove to you. And now I'm fully in my power. I have nothing to prove to anybody because I'm quite happy where I am in my body. And as I picked up the pieces of my life, I could work out what ones were useful to me and what ones no longer serve me. And I was able to challenge the things of why am I good enough? What was wrong with me? And I was able to challenge those statements. And I was able to hear where they came from originally. And I was able to heal those situations. And those young children that received those emotional and verbal woundings. Words are powerful. And what the emotional abuser did was they loaded you up with these statements. They changed from worshipping you to telling you all these negative things about you. And they left those little earworms running around. And now it's time to get rid of those parasites and have a deep cleanse and challenge everything and remove them at the core level. I hope this week's been helpful. On Saturday, the 6th of April, I'm celebrating going into the third year of the Mindfuckery podcast. I just find it unbelievable where that time's gone, actually. And so I might release one because I couldn't hold off a Tuesday podcast to Saturday. It's such a long period of time. But I've got a few interviews that I've done. I might just put something else out. I'm not sure, but I'm going to put something out to celebrate the anniversary. Don't forget to step into your queen power. And as always, I'm sending you loads and loads of love.